Praise the Lord. Lord Jesus, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, that you teach us. Lord, we are hungry for you, Lord. And if we're not hungry, God, I pray you would stir that hunger up in us. Lord, I pray the words you put in my mouth would be the words of the Holy Spirit and no one else. And Jesus, prepare us to receive. Prepare us to not only receive, but to give. Lord, we worship you, Jesus. You are King. You are the only reason we're here. You're the only reason we're alive. You're the only reason we're forgiven. So, Lord Jesus, Holy Spirit, we invite you to minister to us. And I want y'all to pray this prayer out loud. Lord Jesus, speak to my heart and change my life in your precious name and give me a teachable spirit in the name of Jesus. Amen. Don't be seated. How many of y'all know that song, Lord, You Are? I know you know it, Jason. Y'all know it? I would tell you to stand up and sing, but y'all can sit down. Sing along with me, those of y'all know it. You know it, Sarah? You know it. Y'all ready? We'll sing it a couple times. After the first time, if you don't know it, you've got foul memory. Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds. I'm sorry, I forgot the last. And nothing I desire compares with you. Let's do it again. Lord, you are more beautiful than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Praise the Lord. That's a beautiful song. I don't even know who wrote that, but do you know Refiner's Fire? Do you know how it goes? Well, I will do it. Best of my ability. It's called Refiner's Fire. It was a vineyard song, and it was sung a lot during probably the revival in Pensacola, and also the revival in Toronto. But I remember we sang it a lot in church, but help us, Jesus. Purify my heart, let me be as gold and precious silver. Purify my heart, let me be as gold. Pure gold, refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart for you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Purify my heart, cleanse me from within, and make me holy. Purify my heart, cleanse me from my sin, deep within. Refiner's fire, my heart's one desire is to be holy, set apart to you, Lord. I choose to be holy, set apart for you, my master, ready to do your will. Go to Malachi chapter 3. And you know, I listened to that song to remember how the tune went. And I watched the Vineyard worship team do it very skillfully and beautifully. And when you listen to that song, it's beautiful. It puts you at peace and comfort, I think. And it's a great worship song. Anyway, Malachi chapter 3. And as you read the Old Testament, I know y'all know this, but as you read the Old Testament and the New Testament, Jesus fulfilled a whole lot. Jesus, when he came, fulfilled a whole lot of prophecies, wouldn't you say? I mean, he fulfilled mega prophecies. And there are 300 prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus' first coming. But there are 500 prophecies in the Old Testament of Jesus' second coming, which have not been fulfilled yet. So sometimes a prophecy was fulfilled when Jesus came, but there's more to it. It's going to be fulfilled when it's going to be fully filled when Jesus comes a second time. And you can't always, sometimes they'll just read a scripture and go, oh, well, that's already happened, so we're not waiting for that. But yet, the fulfillment of it hasn't yet happened. Praise God for Jesus' first coming. Praise God what he's done. But praise God he promised he's coming again. And this isn't a second coming teaching or nothing, but it's a, anyway. We'll just call it refiner's fire. How's that? Verse 1. And take this as he's speaking to you right now. Don't take this as he was speaking to Malachi. Take it as Malachi has written this down, and it's for your good and it's for your learning. Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight. Behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. Now, if you were to just read this off the top of your head and think it didn't go any further, who would you think he was talking about, this messenger, to prepare the way? John the Baptist. Exactly. That's exactly what you would think. And I believe it was John the Baptist. But if you read on, in verse 2 it says, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can endure the coming of the Lord? What would be your answer to that? Who can endure that? Nobody can endure the coming of the Lord. Nobody can handle. I mean, when he came and hit him, see, hit him in a cleft of a rock, so that he couldn't see his face as he passed by. The Lord's presence and power is mighty, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? Who could stand when the Lord appears? You'll be on your face. My Lord, you'll be on your face. You won't be on your knees. You'll be on your face no matter where you're at when the Lord appears. And that's why I think when you get slain in the Spirit, sometimes you're like, wham, you're wiped out. Unless you're just faking it. You're wiped out. You're stuck to the floor. You're glued to the floor. And that's not even the presence of the Lord. That's just the anointing of the Lord. Right? God's presence is so much greater than anything we've ever experienced on earth. And praise God, he gives us pieces of it. But if you ever, maybe you guys have done this, but I've heard of people that have had such an encounter with the Lord that they said, Lord, stop. I'm going to die. Now, I can't say that I've had that. Has anybody here had that kind of? You have. Nina has. I want that. I think right now I just say, well, keep it pouring. Let's just check out. What a way to go, man. Who can endure the day of His coming? Who can stand when He appears? For He is like what? A refiner's fire and like a launderer's soap. He will set as a refiner and a purifier of silver. And the only reason I know this isn't because I've been a silversmith or a goldsmith. I know this because I've read about it. But when gold or silver is purified, they take the ore, they take the raw product, and they heat it up in a, I think the thing's called a crucible. And it's heated and heated and heated until that gold or silver starts to melt. And as it melts and gets hotter and hotter, all these impurities start coming to the top. And the refiner would take, I don't know what it's called, it's a slag, I don't know what it's called, but they will skim off these impurities, and that's the end of it. No, they do this 7 times. In fact, they did it so much, they did it until they could look over this pot of gold or silver and they could see a perfect reflection. They could look in it and it would be like a mirror. Does that remind you of some scripture? Paul was talking about look into a mirror darkly, but then we will see him as he is. So a refiner's fire is designed to purify. Fire is hot. Is that true? Fire is sometimes painful. Fire is uncomfortable. Wouldn't you say? You ever been burnt? I don't like to get burnt. If I had any way to go out, I've thought about this a lot, in case I get an option if they decide to start persecuting people. My very last option would be burned at the stake. There may be something worse, but I can't even. I guess if it was like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and it was so hot it just vaporized you, maybe that would be okay, but I don't want to sit there and suffer like that. That's right. And I don't know that we get a choice. The refiner's fire is hot. I think we'd all agree with that. It says, He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver. Who were the sons of Levi? They were the priests. They were the Levitical order. They're the ones that dressed up with the headdresses and they took care of the temple. They mowed the grass. They took care of God's business in the church. Not that they were God's only people, but they took, it says, what's it say here again? It says, He will purify the sons of Levi. In other words, I think there's a scripture. I know there's a scripture, and I don't know where it's at, but it says judgment will begin in the house of the Lord. And we've seen a whole lot of pastors and ministers and evangelists, and we've seen a lot of them take hard falls. And hopefully what that did is purify their soul. So this purifying fire hits the sons of Levi, and He purges them as gold and silver, that they may, what? Offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. In other words, if the head of the house is pure, the people will get under that and be pure, and the sacrifices of God will be pleasing to God. Does that make sense? He's not pleased with your sheep and your goats. He's not pleased with carnal things unless they're sanctified by the Lord, right? There's all kinds of rich people that give multitudes of money to good causes, but God's not pleased with that. Oh, he'll use it, but he's not. That's not an offering pleasing to God. It's got to be an offering made out of righteousness, right? I'd say most people that give to charities outside of the house of God, it's probably brownie points. Or people will think this will be a feather in my cap. And that may not be all people. I'm sure it's not. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord. Pleasant to the Lord. That means pleasing to the Lord. That means he could laugh at your offerings and be joyful at your offerings, as in the days of old, as in the former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will come near you for judgment. What's that mean, Buster? That means, and I'm sure this don't apply to you at all, but when you're saying things behind closed doors, when you're thinking things behind closed doors, when you're looking at things behind closed doors, see, we don't get it. He's right here. He's right next to us. Otherwise, he couldn't be a witness. It said a swift witness, didn't it? A witness has to, in a court of law, Glenna, what would a witness have to do to say, I saw him murder her? He'd have to witness it, right? Or he'd be a liar, a perjurer. God goes by the letter of the law, if that makes sense. I know the Spirit of God comes gently, but for judging things, the Lord is looking on things, and he couldn't judge them if he didn't observe them. Does that make sense? He will come near you for judgment. He says, I will be a swift witness. A witness has to observe, doesn't he? I will be a swift, what's swift? Quick. Something that's in our Constitution that's no longer obeyed. Sarah, you are entitled to a swift and a speedy trial by your peers, by a court of your peers. Did you know that? Did you know that? Did you know when that was written, it didn't mean I get 700 appeals and live 40 years on death row? Praise the Lord. That other one, you can come on too, and I won't have to change you today. Oh, praise the Lord. Let there be light. But you think about that. That was written in our Constitution because of the Bible. A swift witness. A swift judgment. I will be a swift witness against what? Sorcerers. Witches. Which is the sin of rebellion. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft. Against adulterers, against perjurers. What's a perjurer? Somebody that lies under oath. Against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien. No, not the, not E.T. We're talking, never mind. Against those who turn away an alien because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For I am the Lord, and I do not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob. Why is the sons of Jacob not consumed? Because they were living away from God. Because God made a promise to the sons of Jacob that they will reap the harvest, right? That they would be a part of the last day's move. Yet from the days of your fathers, you have gone away from my ordinances. You have not kept them. Return to me. Let's say this. Return to me, Return to me, saith the Lord, and I will return to you. Return to me, saith the Lord, and I will return to you. But you said, in what way shall I return? Does that sound familiar? Jesus said, love your neighbor. And the disciples went, but who is my neighbor? Would you? Could you? That means you pick out who's going to be your friends. You pick out who you're going to forgive, Kristen. And Jesus, then he proceeded to tell the story of the Samaritan, didn't he? The hated Samaritan. You know, we think of the Good Samaritan as they were hated by the Jews. They hated them because they had a mixture. They had a mixture. It was like, well, they were prejudiced, but I think they had taken the Jewish religion and they had mixed it with occult type things. And I couldn't tell you exactly, but I think it's something like that. Anyway, they were hated. And this guy had been beat up and laying beside the road and bleeding to death. And first, here comes Pastor Mark. Help, help, help. Bless you. Have a nice day. You can come out to food pantry if you can make it. It was a priest. And then who came by? I don't remember the order. But finally, a dreaded, hated Samaritan came by, and it said, he went down, he wiped his wounds, he bandaged him up, and not only did he bandage him up, he took him to a house, and he paid the people there and said, here's some money, take care of him, and if you use more than that, when I get back, I will pay for the rest of that when I return. So, I don't know how we got on to who is our neighbor. In what way shall we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. I want you to think about the nation for just a minute. And as you look around our nation, you will see that the government. And please, you know, if you're benefiting from anything, you know, I'm not. I just want you to know that you look around and see that the nation has become God to a whole lot of people. And the reason I believe that's happened is somehow, somewhere in time, for one thing, people lost their self-respect. And I'm not talking a bad self-respect. I'm talking about an honorable thing that I will work. I will do what I need to do. I will be I won't be a user. But another thing that happened is I think the church backed up. See, the church used to take care of widows and orphans. They used to feed the poor. And I'm not saying it doesn't happen anymore. I think what's going to happen, well, one thing happened was the church, when the tithes and offerings, when the tithes were pulled out of the store, it's called the storeroom of God. The reason it was called the storeroom is because it took care of needs like that. It was like they had places where people could stay. They talked about true widows living in the house of God. You remember that? True widows. And that was somebody that was over 60-something years of age, but said if you take somebody young in, they'll be wanting a man and get married. But their job, they had a job. Their job was to pray and fast. Pray and fast for the kingdom of God, to be intercessors. Well, what happened was they didn't have this glorious lifestyle where they got paid to watch TV and text and Facebook all day. Their specific job was to intercede and to help feed poor people and do things like that. But what happened when the tithe was pulled out of the storeroom, there wasn't enough money to accomplish all these things. So the government went from 5 or 10% tax to 30-something percent tax, and we know how efficient the government is. Imagine if the church had that kind of resources to give. But I'm not blaming it all on the government. The problem is the church built its own kingdom, and they stored up gold and high salaries and huge buildings. And we got a huge building here. But, I mean, never mind. Verse 10, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. Your words have been harsh against me, says the Lord, yet you say, see, they keep asking, well, where have we messed up? Put us on trial, show us, and every time the Lord answers, doesn't he? Yet you say, what have we spoken against you? You have said, it is useless to serve God. What profit is it that we have kept his ordinance and that we have walked as mourners before the Lord of hosts? So now we call the proud blessed, for those who do wickedness are raised up. They even tempt God and go free. Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another. See, the Lord talked to them, and those who feared the Lord picked this up. The Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you will again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve him. And I would go on and read 4 or 2 if I was you, but I'm going to stop there. I will read the last verse of 4. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the earth with a curse. And I believe that we're going to see a mass turning of children back to the hearts of the fathers. I believe we're right on the verge of a mass exodus, where families are healed, where the fathers will embrace the children and the children will embrace the fathers. And that doesn't leave mothers out, but and when we started in chapter 3, what was the whole point of that? He was going to send what? A refiner's fire. A refiner's fire will send the children back to the fathers. Is that true? The pig pen will send children back to the fathers. The prodigal, just read it. And if you have your, and you better be getting your, you should be getting yourself in order to prepare for that. Because if you remember the prodigal, when the prodigal came home, he didn't come back arrogantly, did he? I'm going to honor you with coming back to your house, Pop. I know you've missed me. I blew all your money on riotous living. Now, how about some more? And by the way, I will be partying every night, and I'll come in home when I want to, and I'll do what I want to do, and if you don't like it, well, you just can't have me back. He didn't come back to the father like that. He come back, oh, I have sinned against you, and I've sinned against heaven, and I knew that even the servants in your house had it better than I do. So there's an exodus, man. I believe there's whole kinds of people that were raised in the ways of God. How many of y'all, I know a lot of y'all weren't, but how many of y'all were raised up in the ways of the Lord? Hold your hand high. You were raised up in the ways of the Lord. You had a praying mama. You had a praying daddy, possibly. But you were raised up in the ways of the Lord. How many of y'all went to the pig pen? Praise the Lord for y'all that didn't. How many of y'all had a compass? You know what I call a compass? I had a compass planted in me from all those years of godly teaching. And I know which way north was. I knew which way Dad's house was. I could be blind. I could have my eyes gouged out, and I would have known how to get back to the Father's house. Aren't you? Don't you praise God? You know the world? What would the world done to you? Oh, I've got this record, and I've been in jail, I've been in prison, and how about a job? Sorry, son. You blew it. God says, oh no, kill a fatted calf, dress them up, put rings on their fingers, bells on their toes. No, I don't think it says that. Bring them home. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Right, Jason? And he can even X out your past, can't he, brother? Yeah! God, expunge me. He can do that, can't he? He's so good. He is so good. Okay. Let me tell you something right quick, and then I want to read you a word that the Lord gave me back in the woods. I had a fire going back there, and it was just good last night. I love this weather when I got a fire going. But I just ask you a question. You got to answer this yourself. Are you hungry? Are you hungry? You're physically hungry. You're right. I better get y'all out of here in a minute. But you know what? I've probably only been sick enough 3 or 4 times in my life when I wasn't hungry. I love to eat. But you know what? I've noticed something. When you're sick, you're not hungry. When people on their deathbed, they're usually not saying, bring me a T-bone steak and a potato and flag IV be good enough, you know. You're dying when you're not hungry or you're very sick. Well, it's the same way in the spirit. When you are hungry for God, you're healthy. You want more of God. There's nothing wrong with that. You are healthy, but when you don't have no hunger for the things of God, when you have no hunger for the Word of God, when you have no hunger for prayer and fellowship, you're sick. But God can heal you of that, praise the Lord. You're making some cute little noises there, praise the Lord. So get hungry. We might want to be a trim, healthy mama in the flesh, but in the spirit, I want to be a fat, healthy pig. You know? If you ever been to a move of God where you only get prayer if you're bold, because, come here, Jamie, let me show you something. I remember Brownsville. Come here. Come here. I'll be wait, you'd be waiting patiently in line for somebody to pray for you. He's patiently in line, okay? This is on a, I forget what night it was, a youth met. Was it Thursday? There's people patiently waiting for God to move. Oh, I'll just be patient. And then the youth group lets out across the street at the chapel, and they're going, no, really, like, I'm going to be so rude. That gives you an attitude, won't it? It'll get like, I'm hungrier than you are, boy. Get out of my way. But no, you don't have to be rude. I'm just saying, God looks at you, and when he sees hunger for the things of God, he's pleased. He's well pleased, not for rudeness. That's okay. When Dave Hogan's here, I fully expect you to be rude as a pig. No, not a pig. Well, let's put it this way. You might get more than you bargained for when he prays for you. I'm excited about that. I remember, I think it was at Covenant Life, he was there. And I went up, of course, I've been to Brownsville. I knew how to work my way up, so I got right up there by him real quick. And I just had my eyes closed, and I just had my hands up waiting to receive. And before you know it, I was 10 feet from where I started. I mean, it was like I just got thrown across the room. And I got slapped in the face. It was like smack! I mean, it didn't sting or hurt, but it was, you could tell it was a smack. I'm going, wow, that was different. I laid on the floor for about, I don't know, I was down there for a while, couldn't move. And on the way home, I think there was four or five of us from church. On the way home, they said, what was that like, man? What did God say to you? What do you know and all this? I said, I don't know exactly what happened, but I just can't figure out why he had to hit me. I said, he never got no closer than 3 or 4 feet from you, and just, it was just the power of God. So, that's exciting. Okay, I'm going to read this to you. And I don't take lightly, thus saith the Lord. I do not at all, because I think sometimes it's presented way too lightly. But I do believe this was from the Lord. And to me, usually when it's from the Lord, you could line it up with Scripture. It never deviates from, you know, God's purposes and plans or His precepts. Thus saith the Lord, I am that I am, and above me there is no other. Behold, I have come to the house of God. I have come to the church of Jesus Christ. I have come in peace. I have come in adoration. I have come with encouragement. I have come in blessings. Behold, church, I will come for a spotless bride without spot or wrinkle. Cleave unto me. Obey my commandments. Follow me closely, or you will get lost in the dark. Follow me closely, or you will be washed away by the flood. Hold on to me. Hold on to my garments. Hold on to me. Don't let go. Don't back off. do what you see me doing, say what you hear me saying, live what you see me living. Oh, and yes, you do not have to see me physically, thus saith the Lord. You have the written word of God. You know how I go. You know when I go. Listen closely. Read my holy word and listen closely. And everywhere it applies to you, every promise I have given you is yes and amen. Every commandment I have given you is also yes and amen. Every trial and tribulation that I have allowed to come on you has been for your learning. It has been for your growing. It has been for your cleansing. Thus saith the Lord, I am that I am, and above me there is no other. Fall down and worship me. Adore me. Don't speak evil of me. Don't speak evil of my ways. Don't speak evil of my people. Listen to this. Don't speak evil of my people. They are my friends, and I will defend my friends. I'm going to say that again. Don't speak evil of my people. They are my friends, and I will defend my friends. Yes, there is a time coming on this earth that will be painful. It will stretch you, but it will purify you. The fire of adversity will purify you. The fire of adversity will not cause you to back off. It will cause you to run toward the fire. It will cause you to embrace the helpless. It will cause you to help those who are suffering. It will cause you to be like me. For out of compassion, I went out to the masses. I too tired. I too wanted to be alone with the Father. I too liked my own time with the Father, but I was called to minister to people just as you are. So be encouraged. Don't listen to the report of the enemy. Be encouraged. I do come for a spotless bride, but praise the Lord. Praise me, thank me for shedding my blood that you may be spotless. Maranatha, Maranatha, remember that word, Maranatha. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Let that be the prayer of your mouth every day. I know you want to see me. I know you want to see me as I see you. Oh, be ready. It's going to be a wonderful time together. I love you and I adore you, Faith Harvest. I love you and adore you, saints, members of the body, fingers, hands, legs, feet. I adore you, eyes and ears. I adore you. I will use you more and more and more. If you feel like you haven't been used, prepare yourself. Gird yourself up. You will be used and used and used until you feel you have been all used up. Then you will pray and you will be used more. Bless you with all the goodness, gifts, and power of heaven. I love you, I love you, I love you. Stay close to me. I don't want to lose you, not one of you. Let's stand up. I'd like to pray a blessing over you. In the name of Jesus, I bless you with the promises of God, which are yes and amen. The Holy Spirit make you healthy and strong in body, mind, and spirit to move in faith and expectancy. May God's angels be with you to protect you and keep you. Be blessed with supernatural strength to turn your eyes from foolish, worthless, and evil things. Instead, may you behold the beauty of things that God has planned for you as you obey His word. I bless your ears to hear the lovely, the uplifting, the encouraging, and to shut out the demeaning and the negative. May your feet walk in holiness and your steps be ordered by the Lord. May your hands be tender, helping hands to those in need, hands that bless. May your heart be humble and receptive to one another and to the things of God and not to the world. May your mind be strong, disciplined, balanced, and faith-filled. God's grace be upon your home, that it may be a sanctuary of rest and renewal, a haven of peace where sounds of joy and laughter grace its walls, where love and unconditional acceptance of one another is consistent. God give you success and prosperity in your business and places of labor as you acknowledge and obey the imperative of Scripture concerning the tithe. God give you spiritual strength to overcome the evil one and to avoid temptation. God's grace be upon you to fulfill your dreams and your visions. May goodness and mercy follow you all the days of your long life. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. I bless you all in the mighty, mighty name of Jesus. And God, give them an awesome afternoon, God, out in the beauty today, in the sunlight, in the coolness of the air, God. Give them a beautiful, beautiful, glorious day. And Lord, allow them to minister, God, everywhere they go. Let Jesus be glorified and exalted. If you need prayer for anything, please come get prayer.